was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. I want to thank our callers tonight, excellent callers. I want to bring in, first of all, I want to remind people that this show stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? So I encourage everybody to use that to be a call to activism and realize that the victory is God's. We're supposed to storm the gates of hell come what may and try to bring heaven on earth, as the Lord's Prayer says. It doesn't say make earth as it is in hell. It says on earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to attempt to try to make this as much of a godly enterprise here on earth as possible. And with that note, I'm going to bring in Keith Jones from Kansas. Keith, thanks for hanging in there. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thanks, Keith. Why don't you fill us in on anything that's on your mind? Keith is the connoisseur of the self-governing county, and we've heard from Keith excellent solutions on how to rebuild this republic from the bottom up, because as we're looking at the top, you know, until with people like Tom still sitting in jail, I don't see the top-down fix coming, because such an easy thing is dropping the case against Tom and Clive and Bundy and the rest of the crew. It's such an easy thing to do. It's a no-brainer. And I want to know why it's not happening. Because these guys are clearly being held. I mean, just look into it, Mr. Trump. Look into it, Mr. Sessions. I mean, don't take my word for it. Look into the case. You'll see. There's no victim to any of these allegations. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't conspire to hurt anybody. As a matter of fact, they were all really pretty mellow about things, as best they could be in the face of an overbearing dictatorial government. And with that, Keith, I'll let you take over for a little bit.
Well, I don't have that much to say. I mean, you've covered everything pretty well in the calls, so I'm just here right now. Okay.
I appreciate that, Keith. Can you describe, I had one question I think other listeners may have had this, what is a peace flag? Can you describe that flag?
Peace flag is a flag that flies the other way around. Instead of going from left to right, or however you want to say it, for the stripes, they go from top to bottom. The first thing, and the second thing is, instead of having all 50 stars on your flag, you'll have just the stars of when you come in the union. And there'll be no gold fringe around. It'll be straight, just a regular flag.
Right,
just
okay,
for the original. They'll still have 13 stripes on there, but those 13 stripes stand for the original 13 colonies.
Oh, excellent. How appropriate for a self-governing county, eh?
Yes.
Excellent.
And actually, if you're pulled a flag, if you go down and do a little research, each time you fold a flag, there's a reason for that fold as well.
Well, that's interesting. Keith, tell our listeners how big of a tract of land you have to have for a self-governing county.
You have to have just over 2,500 acres.
2,500 acres, very good. Who do you, as your most important document will be called a charter, correct?
Correct.
That'll spell out what the county is intending to do and the parameters, and it's not necessarily codes, but it's more like a declaration type of, kind of a combination. Would it be fair to call it a combination between a declaration and a constitution?
In a sense, yeah, that'd be a good way to say it, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. How difficult would it be to put together 2,500 acres of land? That does not sound very difficult. I would argue there's listeners out there who may have that much in their immediate family.
Now, I'd hate to disagree with you, since corporations take over most land, and most mom and pop's land is gone. So the only way you could do that, I mean, what's left is BLM has taken over, or the states have taken over. You don't find 2,500 acres anymore, very seldom, in one chunk of land. I mean, I can take the ones I know, at least that were up to sale last time I took, and looked actually in Colorado, was less than a handful.
Oh, boy.
Okay, not very many. Wyoming wasn't much better. Montana's not any better. You can forget about Idaho. Nevada isn't much better. So, I mean, and even Texas, I mean, yeah, there's a nice piece of chunk of land up for sale in Texas. But the problem is, who's got the money for it? There's a piece of chunk of land up there for over 800,000 acres. They want $730 million for it.
Right, that makes it so. So we got three issues there. It's either two the large parcels are so extremely, obscenely expensive, it's out of the range of, you know, middle America, or you have parcels that have been sold off and chunked down into smaller pieces, so they're not going to, it'd be more difficult to put a bunch of those together enough to make that 2,500, and or the third problem is the government and the state seizing up all the, as many prime chunks and mountaintops as they possibly can, so. It does make it a little more difficult, but certainly not insurmountable. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, no. There's a piece, for instance, in northern Nevada that's right along the Oregon line. It's 126,000 acres, and they own 40 million for it, which is really, for that much land, is very reasonable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, I can go to the one in southern Colorado. That's just under 84,000. Now, if you take an equal amount, this is a lot pricier, but it's $100 million for it. But the thing is, how many people, you know, you start looking at these bigger checks, and you sit down and say, how many people can that support? That's the thing you've got to start looking at. And the thing is that everyone says, well, okay, you know, but no, you're going to have people come in here and work with you, and they lease the land from you, and you can form your own little community. You leave an open area, do the same thing with BLM. Basically, use what we call open range, and they raise their cattle, do whatever they want to. They can have their small little spot for their garden, become 100% self-sustaining. It can be done. We just have to find people who are willing. I've been sitting here twiddling my thumbs here, because one of the things I want to get into in the hard part of this is, very honestly, I'm tired of what you call armchair Monday night or Sunday, whatever you want to call them, people. Okay? We're sitting here, folks, and I don't want to get on my soapbox. I'll just be quiet. Yeah, I get on my soapbox, I won't stop.
That's okay, Keith. You're welcome to step up on that soapbox anytime. That's right. I could see you were getting frustrated. I know it's the Patriots are scattered. It's difficult to find places where there's a large block of Patriots, and it's almost exclusively that. I think we're scattered and kind of amongst the wind, so to speak. There's groups here and a few there, and And when we, this is why having this radio broadcast and forums like this are so important, because we can all get together and coalesce kind of in one mind and one voice. The callers are great. They bring up good stuff. Hopefully I can bring some. Go ahead.
Let me touch on one thing. I'll try to not get on a soapbox, but let me touch one
That's
piece.
Okay. That's okay. It'll be okay. Good. You go for it, Keith.
Yeah. Is that, getting back to the armchair, is that we have people here all over the country scattered. Okay? I've been at this for, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years now. Okay? I almost mostly learn about new people, new where they are, different country or not, different states, different counties they're in. Okay, we've got to figure out a way, people, to figure out a way to start doing. I'm not looking for a database. You can take your database and do what you want to with it. All a database is good for a name. Okay. I'm looking for the people who are willing to come out of the armchair and be a part of the willing to stand up and be doing what they need to do. Okay? And in order to do that, we need to do the networking. Okay? I can tell right now, I don't have a setup. As soon as I get everything done here again, I'll have set up a video conferencing software. It doesn't cost anything to use it or buy it. We can change files back and forth.
That's a great way to start. Yep, that's a great way to start with a conference call. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, and I'm not talking about in personal, just on something like this or high definition. I'm talking about video, so you can actually see each other face to face and you work and know who that person is. Okay, first thing. Second thing is, let's have this idea. How can I say this? We're no longer pegged under the UN. If you go look it up on their website, it states that we're no longer, the United States is no longer under a UN corporation. So with that, that means, guess what? We get to go back to common law and constitutional law. And now why are we sitting here fooling ourselves as a group of people that said we want to all be patriots? When they do this, we don't do this. Get off our backside and do something. When that, we unpegged, the day we came unpegged from the UN, we should have had a bunch of us had the copy in hand and went to where Tom is and say, now, we're under the Constitution and we're under common law. What is and how can you hold him?
That's what I was going to touch on.
3 weeks?
It's
3 weeks?
This is why.
Okay, can I finish the other half of this piece? And sure. I'll let you say what you want. Okay, sure. The other piece is, with that in mind, you look up the attorney's, what they call it, their Bible. Okay, it's Goodstone or whatever it is, the law dictionary. They call it their Bible. Okay? Look in there. It says, it's their Esquire. It says it right there. How much simpler do you need it, folks, that they are a counsel for the king and queen?
Yep. Now they put
that means they gave up their citizenship for this country.
Yeah, okay? most of them, if they're honest, they'll put the ESQ right after their name.
Right. So if you go to the last step, if you look under their 1875, how the American Bar Association was set up, and you dig around there, you'll find it says that they have, I quote, no jurisdiction in the United States of America, end of quote. Now, you hand that to them and say, and make sure it has their American bar, hand it to them and say, excuse me, but because of this, I can request, under special appearance, request all Bar Association people to leave. Where is it happening at, folks?
That'd be a bonus.
Where is it happening? Who's getting off their backside? Who's willing to stay out here and learn this stuff? I spent 12 years, and don't get me wrong here, I'm not blowing my, I want people to understand. I spent 12 years of my life, and Eric can tell you, it's not an easy thing for me to do. I put my eyesight in jeopardy every day to sit down here and try to do some research and study. I have an extremely, very rare eyesight. I have less than 3,000 people and have over 1% of them come from my... I walk to the eye doctor's office, and they don't tell me. I tell them. Because they don't know, because... And if anyone wants to find out what it's like, you go to YouTube and look up Extreme Home Makeover. Season 4 and Episode 1. It'll tell you, because the family there actually have my eyesight. And it's not any fun. But I have decided that I sit down and I don't do anything halfway. I spent 20 years doing technology way beyond people's imagination. I go into corporate and they say, we don't understand it, but just send us the bill. So when I sit down and started doing this, this became not just partly played games with, this became a part of my life.
Oh, yeah.
And until we get to a place where we get people who are willing to get off their backside and being part of this, besides just sitting there in our, well, someone else, the job is yours. That's what freedom is for. What did freedom cost?
And our job, Keith, is to bring them a template that they can work with, because we're not, I wouldn't suggest that everybody go to one place. This is a common,
I'm not saying the Patriot or Prepper community
is often to go to, a singular location or try to get to a state or a certain, I would say try to, you want to rebuild in your area if there's any hope for it all. Now,
well, that's what I was going to get to.
That when you get to New York or Massachusetts, Connecticut, Florida, California, Texas,
there's
some difficult places to do this.
Right.
But there are easier places to do it. And even in some of those states, if you get out to the rural areas, you will find a county with maybe only 20, 30, 40,000 people in it, and in that case, you may be able to actually put a self-governing county together if you can take back the entities that Keith was talking about, the infiltration of the bar. The problem is, here's the problem, and I wanted to address this before I forgot, Keith. The tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal. And the tyranny of the local has permeated through many private organizations like the Freemasons and the Lions Club and the Bar and all these organizations that are not accountable to the people. They're accountable to their hierarchy and to their shareholders and stakeholders. And so when these private organizations infiltrate your government, which they have, you can see, when you just drive around upstate New York and you enter these small towns, there's a blue sign that says Masons, ancient, free, and accepted. Accepted, I'll be the decider of that. When you have to put up a sign that says, hey, we're accepted, you got problems. So, but they announce themselves. And down in the southern tier, it's the Lions Club International. And every time you get into government, all the legislators, the judges, and the attorneys are almost invariably either members of the Freemasons, the Rotary, the Lions Club International, or the Bar. And the Bar is the most pervasive, and that's the most accountable to the British Crown. And this is why we want to keep those people out. When you get a self-governing county, you make sure you can put it in a charter. No members of the Bar. It's a foreign organization. If you have an ESQ, which is Esquire, next to your name, you're loyal. You're not. That's like he said. That's an agent of the Crown of England. That is not an agent of the American government or the courts or anything like that. So I would encourage people to make sure. I would put forth this. Being a lawyer should not be mandatory to get in political office. And almost everybody you see in political office is either an attorney or a large corporate executive. And it's almost always, you can't run for office in New York State in either the Republican corporation or the Democrat corporation unless you are a member of the bar, unless you're a bar licensed attorney. Can't be a judge unless you're an attorney. Can't be a public defender unless you're an attorney. Can't open a local law firm unless you're an attorney. All the ACLU guys are attorneys. All the witches court guys and girls are attorneys. They're all attorneys, so they're all members of a private club. And when you're a member of a private club that has an Esquire at the end of your name, and many of the attorneys, it'll say, John Doe, attorney at law, Esquire, blah, 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 blah. They'll put it right in there. That's a foreign title. That's why it bothers me that somebody with an Esquire like Jeff Sessions is in the Justice Department. They're not supposed to have any loyalty or any relation with any international or foreign organization. I mean, he's
a member of the Lions Club International, and it says international, it doesn't say local, and he's an attorney who's loyal to the bar. And he seems to be adhering to his old loyalties instead of dropping the cases against the Patriots. It's just such a no-brainer. If anybody listening to this show right now was elected, or was appointed, attorney general, I mean, obviously, you'd get right in there, you'd free the Patriots first thing, you'd drop all the cases that are victimless, you'd most likely give an executive order from where you stand, so maybe they can't change the law without Congress, but you can say, hey, we're not arresting or prosecuting any drug cases, period. We're going to end prohibition like they were supposed to with the 18th, was it the 18th Amendment that repealed prohibition? Okay, that needs to be reinstated under this idiotic, obscene, communistic, liberal, pinko drug war that we're in. All it does is create, and the fools that are for it, the drug war is creating the goon squads of police and federal agents who are kicking in the doors for the gun grab. The gun grab. You're going to lose you. They're going to come get your guns with the same guys who are kicking in the doors who came to get the drugs. Once you let that wolf in the door, okay, remember the Charlie Daniels song at the top of the hour, the wolf is at the door. When you let that wolf in the form of the drug war, thinking, oh, great, this is going to be nice and conservative. Another war. How conservative? Huh? War is very liberal. War is highly communistic. I'll say it. And when warring against your own people, which is what the drug war is beyond communistic and liberal. It's insane. It's the pinkoest, pinkest, pink panty, pink panther, pinkest of the pinko commie libs is the drug war. And so anyway, the drug war has to end, and I don't hear any talk like that. Ron Paul was going to end the drug war. And it's not so people can go out and do drugs and we can have a giant hippie party. It takes the violence out of it. It takes, because it takes the money out of it. It's the same thing that happened with alcohol. Just keep going. Everybody who thinks the drug war is a great idea, just keep looking back at prohibition. Alcohol was made illegal by constitutional amendment for 10 years or thereabouts, and it was repealed because it worked. It was so crappy on the people, and it was so good for the criminals and the government, because the government does the dance with the criminals. Every attorneys are making a fortune on the drug war. They don't want it to go anywhere. And when your state legislature and federal Congress is ripe top to bottom with attorneys, including Rand Paul. I'm pretty sure Rand Paul's an attorney. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure Rand Paul's an attorney. What the hell is he doing up there claiming to be a constitutionalist if he's an attorney, pimping the drug war a little more every time? There's nobody. I don't see anybody like Ron Paul who was anti-drug war. He was the last, sane, level-headed person in politics that I can remember. But right now, I just see one maniac after another, and I hope Trump is not writing these speeches. I don't think he is. I think he's better than this. I'm giving him credit by saying this. This is a friendly comment. I hope he's not writing. I don't think he's writing those speeches, and I sure hope he's not, because it's the exact same platitudes I would have heard if Hillary Clinton was up there talking. We're going to focus on fixing education, and we're going to try really hard with that. We're going to really improve health care, and of course, we're going to keep our streets safe. Oh boy, when a political prostitute tells you they're going to keep your streets safe, make your streets safer, we're going to be law and order now. We're going to get tough on crime. Boy, you better run. You're on your way to Nazi Germany, communist Russia, communist China. It'll be like the USS. Worse, it'll be like communist China. That's their model. So, and I'm not hearing anything like we heard from Ron Paul, which is, hey, let's end the drug war, let's end the Federal Reserve, let's get some big things going. Because don't forget, if the Federal Reserve keeps printing the currency, if the drug war continues, if the military-industrial complex gets bigger, if the three-letter agencies continue, if they can keep the title to your private property and give you a deed and keep charging your rent on your private land, if they can claim society is a victim and that corporations are people and people are property, and if they can build a breachable wall and take the eye off the employers who are actually putting the illegal migrants to work, and of course don't talk about the vicar generals, those are the important things. Those are the things that are going to sink or swim this country. A couple of trade deals here and some factories there aren't going to do it. I wish they would. But we need to hear some serious talk from the new administration.
Drug war's got to end. The Federal Reserve's got to go bye-bye, and the Congress has to start printing the currency. Military-industrial complex, we're spending Lockheed Martin alone gets $17 billion a month in contracts for the government for junk, crap, bogus equipment that we don't need. Most of the stuff that's perfectly good, they just end up handing it to other countries or police departments locally. And then they say we need more stuff. So I don't like to talk about making more money being sunk into the military. We got, like Betty said, she called him before, we're sending another how many thousand troops over to Iraq? That's not something we need to do. We need to shut down the military bases overseas and bring them home. Leave these countries alone. We have enough of a projection of power where if you're worried about China, the problem is the people who are steering this country are also steering China. They're intimately related. I think we're seeing a dance at the highest level with this South China Sea thing. I think China's being encouraged by its international paper holders. I don't know. I will argue with this. I could be wrong on this, but I think the Chinese are still answering to the globalists. I think they need the global banking establishment too much to strike off on their own right now. But if anybody wants to argue that, I'll hear it, because I'm not positive of that. They may be off on their own now in a complete maniacal, world conquest. Historically, China was not very expansionist. Now it's extremely expansionist. We don't need bases. We don't need to be setting up bases all around the world. We need to have a strong Navy and an Air Force. And then we need to reduce these corporate contracts to a point of sanity. $17 billion a month? Are you kidding me? That is not a normal defense. Oh, it's perfect for the corporations and the interchangeable CEOs who become the secretaries of defense procurement staff. And they, once again, like our caller said before, they buy stuff from themselves. They have a fine that's going to themselves. They don't really have to pay it. They're taking our money in the first place. And anyway, we're coming to Keith. Do you have any comments on that before we got 27 minutes after? We're going to have music in a minute. Why don't we hold off until after the break? This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. I'm sitting in for Tom and Lori. Don't forget about Tom, folks. We're doing a phone blitz on the Attorney General's office. The number is 202-514-2000. That's 202-514-2000. Ask for the Director of Scheduling. Schedule a callback from one of Jeff Sessions' legislative aides and require that they drop the case against Tom LaGuevara. Keith, anything before we go to the bottom of the hour?
No.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break, folks. Stay with us on the RBN Network. Disagree with anything you label racist. Welcome to the place. Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy. Little pink houses for you and me. Welcome to the face.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had gout in both my knees, and it's gone.
Well, I'm pretty stupid. I should have ordered it, 15 years ago. It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life.
He had eczema on his hand, and it cracked for years. Mm-hmm. He did anything from doctor, every cream, everything. And 3 months on the veggies and fruit, it was gone.
They're just awesome. They keep asking me, what am I doing? I told them what I did with my cholesterol. I had the blood test, right? And it went down 100 points. 262, now it's 162. Everything is just perfect.
Balance of Nature is celebrating its 20th anniversary by providing you the best offer they've ever given. 2 free months of fruits and veggies and free shipping. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code TALK.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do, but I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom and Lori. Thanks for staying with us. How much military do we need? Let's talk about that for a minute. How much is necessary? When is it excessive? Okay, so China's expanding, and even if they're dancing, whether they're dancing to their own tune or being manipulated by the same forces that are running our military-industrial complex, I think it's the latter and not the former. But either way, how much do we need? Or do we not, if I'm not mistaken, we have the largest, most powerful military in the world right now. By a long shot. What's that, Mike? All righty, we'll get to John in Michigan in just a second. But I wanted people's comments on this. Maybe we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up tomorrow. If I'm going to be here tomorrow night, hopefully I will be. We can maybe discuss how much is too much. Okay, knowing that one corporation, Lockheed Martin, gets $17 billion, that's with a B, every 30 days. That came from the CFO of Lockheed Martin, heard it right from his own mouth. And he thinks it's great. I heard the president of LaserMax, who got a $2 million check from Congressman Tom Reed in upstate New York. They're part of the military-industrial complex, getting their share at a little bit of a smaller, more local level. They make laser sights, and they get military contracts. And the guy, the CEO of the company, came on the radio and he said, "It looks like we're going to be at war for the foreseeable future," and I think that's great. Those were his words, not mine. And I couldn't believe that. And just that blanket statement, there was no qualifiers. He didn't go on to say anything else. That was his blank. That was his lead-off statement. Looks like we're going to be at war for the foreseeable future, and I think that's great. So, you know, that just means it's open season on our wallets and on just the military-industrial complex going nuts. As long as the players are thinking in those terms, you know, how much is too much? Is $17 billion for one corporation too much? I say absolutely it is. When I see the waste and the fraud and the abuse and perfectly good equipment going to, you know, being put in mothballs, if you look between the lines in the government procurement and the government, the status of the equipment, there's just tons and tons upon tons of equipment sitting in storage right now that's perfectly good. We don't need to build new modern version of anything. Most of the time, the older stuff works better. A lot of these new technological weapons are coming out with, they're extremely sensitive to interference, and you know, it's not something I'd like to stake the national defense on. High tech, super easy to fail gadget type stuff, which is where this R&D in the military always goes anyway. So I would argue the Air Force and Navy that we have is plenty to project power to keep things from happening that'll interfere with an open market. And I mean open market, not stacked with trade deals against the U.S. Just a nice open market where people can trade, but do we have enough import and export tariffs to compensate for the difference in life standard? It's not fair that the United States is competing with a market that pays its laborers pennies an hour instead of dollars an hour. That automatically puts us at a disadvantage in a big one, and we all know that the concepts of trade and fair trade. And I believe import and export tariffs alone right now would pay for the entire government. The IRS tax money that they loot from the people has nothing to do with government operations. We all know that story. We've heard it on Tom's show before. So with that, I think we have a caller, John, in Michigan. John, go ahead.
Hello, Eric. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, John. Thanks for calling tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Hey, I just wanted to follow up on the flag, the backwards flag, and I flagged down up here. I live in Michigan here, and I flagged down one of the guys from the Howell Armory, and I asked him, I go, why do you guys wear that flag backwards? And he says, well, it means we're going into battle. So he said, well, just picture the flag on a tank or a Humvee and it going into battle, it would be backwards, you know, because it would be flying backwards with the wind. I could have swore I'd seen that on police officers, too.
Yep, you did. I've seen it on postal, U.S. postal, the mailman's truck. I've seen it on the fire trucks. They all sporting that backwards flag. It was running into battle or moving forward in the world is what I was told over the phone by one of the people in the office there. Moving forward in the world, something like, those are the words. And so running into battle, right. Now, so what we should be doing is calling it the Department of Offense, I guess then, not the Department of Defense anymore.
Oh, exactly, yeah. I usually wear a military-type hat, just a brimmed hat, and every once in a while somebody will say, oh, thanks for your service, It's like, I never served in the military, and I wouldn't want to. I just wear it because I like the camouflage look of it,
Yeah.
But I get sick and tired of listening to these people thanking everybody for their service. I mean, to me, a service, they're doing it for free. They're not doing it for free. They're getting a paycheck,
Well, it's ridiculous. They are.
Yeah, I know. It's and I'm not. We're not dissing the military. We're just saying that it's what I agree with. I agree with the caller. They're creating a special class. It's like the same thing they do with the GLBT, the gays, and the sodomites. They like to create a special class for everybody. Has their own little protected niche they fall into, and it's creating a special class that is getting preferential treatment in society. It's become pervasive, and I mean, everywhere I turn, you know, you only get the discount if you're with the military. You know, that's not really fair to the rest of us. I can understand treating them well, but the privilege class thing, you know, always goes bad because the privilege class always ends up believing that they're above everybody else. And I think that's the problem with a lot of our local police is they think they've got that attitude and, you know, the badge and the power and, They do tend to abuse it too many times.
Another thing that irks me is every sporting event has to have the military flag guards out there from each separate division. It's ridiculous. Every sporting event, I don't care if it's soccer, I don't care if it's hockey. It's ridiculous how they get everybody's brainwashed into, you know, bowing down to these people. It's I guess we are living in a military. We're under the thumb of the military, basically.
Well, it's the way that absolutely. That's one thing I'm always saying. We're always treated like we're conscripts in the military. And that's fine if you're enlisted and you're in the military. But, you know, they're treating people out on the streets like we are conscripts in the military. And that's the problem. And I'm not really even worried about the military having a military attitude. They're supposed to. I'm worried about the police having a militarized attitude against the people. And that's what it really is right now.
They're working them into the... They're working them into the military right now, just by the way they dress, and you know, I mean, all the sheriffs. I mean, they wear the high black boots now, and they're all in black now.
Oh, don't get me going on the black boots. I know I've seen it; it's disgusting. They look like a bunch of drag queens. The cops with black boots that go all the way up to their knees. It's right. Not pretty. I've seen several times, especially in and around upstate New York, the Rochester police guys were wearing them. If you all want to see something, why we kind of got a problem with police, and I'm going to ask people if they're online, go type into your search engine. Let's see, this is because you'll have okay. This type in pink P-I-N-K ruler. R-U-L-E-R, and then I think you might want to just also type in, like, Rochester, New York, maybe police, and the word measure. And the long and short is, after Emily Good got arrested for filming a police traffic stop from her front lawn, and from her front, actually, she was on her front doorstep. And she was way, way far away from the police, and they were pulled over some young black guy, and they were tossing his car, and they shook him down and shook down his car. They didn't find anything. He was totally clean. And they're screaming at him, shaking him, and where's the drugs? Where is your stuff? Where is it? Where is it? And he said, I don't have anything. Search the car. Go ahead. He wasn't resisting. And they were roughing him up and screaming, where is the drugs? Where is the drugs? And they searched him in his car like three times and found nothing. He was a clean kid. He was not a problem. They just, I don't know what they had gotten into them. So she's filming it, and she got arrested. So all the creative went viral, and Emily Good was her name. And she filmed the police and got arrested, and that got filmed. And then local media didn't touch it until it went on YouTube viral, and then they had to start talking about it here. So it went, they dropped the charges against her. She walked away and had a nice lawsuit against the police. Meanwhile, the little event that they had to support her, the police came over.
This was right when, just about before she was about to go up in front of the court, witch's court, after she got arrested and let out on, you know, on bail. And I think on her own recognizance, I don't think they bailed her. It was a small charge. They arrested her in her pajamas on her front doorstep, and she wasn't interfering at all. So anyway, they came to this event with the rulers and were measuring the distance that the cars were from the curb. So the cars are parked, you know, on the, you know, next in parking spaces that are along the road, and then there's a curb, and you're supposed to be within less than 12 inches from the curb. So they were out there with the ruler measuring the distance of from the tire to the curb to try to give people tickets at the Emily Good event, and the police officers were walking around, and they looked exactly, and they put pictures up on the internet of the Gestapo in World War II, and then the pictures of the RPD, and boots, leather boots all the way up to their knees, and these funny little, you know, the Gestapo style hats, and it was amazing, you know, scary in one way, but comical. But if it wasn't all so dangerous, it would be funny. But yeah, it was pretty sad. So I think if you Google the pink ruler, and so everybody was handing out pink rulers to the police, and it created quite a stir on the internet. But it's pretty funny to watch because they got, you know, they got the cops with the rulers measuring distances of tires to the curb, and I mean that's ridiculous. In this, if that's what we're going to with safer streets, I don't want it, caller.
I just wonder what they tell their. Before these guys go out in their patrol cars, what do they actually tell them? I mean, let's go make some money, or what do they tell them?
They do you actually know that it's a money. It's a money making operation. You force these contract laws upon people, and everybody out there is a criminal until they prove otherwise. And if you got it, if you're up against it, you shoot first and ask questions later. All the wrong things, obviously. Oh, drugs. You know, society is a victim. You know, drugs are bad, so we've got to go after those evil drugs, you know. And the only thing that creates the violence is the fact that the police are hunting those people. That's what drives it, the price up, and that's what brings more gangsters into it. And that's why the drug war has to end. And I'm not hearing it from the current administration. If I'm wrong, let me know, but I haven't heard it. I just seem to hear they're ramping it up. Whenever the administration says, we're going to keep your streets safer, we're going to make you more security in your neighborhoods, that is a nightmare scenario coming down the line, because the police state that pops up with that is far worse than whatever crime is in those cities, minus the drug war. Once again, the drug war fuels the crime, it fuels the violence. So it's only the government's involvement making something in prohibition that creates a problem for we the people. John,
right? You know, and I did have high hopes for Trump, but I think the people that surrounded that he picked to surround him is I mean, that's just a telltale sign right there that nothing's going to change.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you know. he just picked up the CEO or one of the chief executives of Lockheed Martin. He just appointed him to I don't know, what position was it? Did you hear, John? I think it was, unfortunately, because they've already got the Secretary of Defense filled. They've already got the CIA filled. It had to be the NSA or the Director of National Security, one of those. Yeah, it's not a good thing, because once again, you've got the CEO of the corporation that's making the...
Well, you know, I did like Trump's telling Boeing, because doesn't Boeing make the... F-35, and he told them that price is too high. I mean, I did have hope for that. I mean, I've never heard that president ever say that, you know, to anybody.
No, I know. It's you know, we're going to get, it just looks like it's about 5% when it needs to be 95%. You know, I think we're getting a token here and something there. And I'm sure, I hope he's well-intentioned, and I'd like to say I'm sure he is. I don't know the man personally. You know, I don't really like to go by what I've seen on TV, and that's all you know, or on the internet. That's all you know, these people. So I really have to listen to what they say. And so, you know, when he's asked the question, how are you going to rebuild what are you going to do for the inner cities? And the first thing out of his mouth isn't end the drug war. I mean, I got to wonder. And I mean, it's the usual platitudes, education, health care, and security. That means forced vaccinations, communist core, and drug war. It's not a recipe for freedom. And I don't like to make America strong again, make America great again, make America proud again. And nowhere in there was make America freedom, free again. That was a problem for me. I listened carefully to what he said. He said, let's make America strong again, which means more money for the military-industrial complex. Make America proud again. Hey, my word of God says pride's a sin. It drives me bananas when people run around saying, I'm so proud of this, I'm so proud of that. Ah, don't be proud. Be happy. But pride is a sin, and so don't be proud of, I don't like that one. And then, and make America great again. You know, I'm not really sure what that means. And the motivation...
I don't either. At what period was it great? After the Second War or World War II? Right. Or was it before World War II?
For about 40 or 50 years between 1780 and 1840, maybe. And that stretch, it's really only 1779 to 1789, because I believe it was in 1789 they passed the Judiciary Act of 1789, which put the courts back in admiralty. We had about 10 years, maybe 40 or 50 years, if you want to stretch it, between the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. And then as soon as the Civil War kicked in with its state of emergency and all the crap that came after it with the 14th Amendment, making us citizens subject slaves instead of free men and women that we were. And then from there it just deteriorated, you know, with the thing with the Federal Reserve in 1913, and then all the security state that came out of World War II. Of course, the Depression, you know, just before the war, the Depression, the gold seizure. It's a steady plan that the enemy has. I mean, when you follow it, it's kind of a gradual, steady deterioration from a little bit of freedom at the beginning of the Republic, and then all the kind of deteriorating downhill from there into what we have now, which is
it's just a slogan, "Make America Great Again." It's just a catchy slogan for people that are. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's making a...
I know that sounds bad, but...
I think it's making a... I think it's the mentality is going to make a problem bigger. I think we need to be saying, return freedom to America. That's what we need to say. Making America great again indicates making us bigger, stronger... I mean, what we haven't. It reeks of conquest, and that's what that's the problem that all republics are going to crash if they start going on this giant conquistador thing, just like Rome did, sending its legions everywhere, go all the way up to northern Scotland, and go all the way to all the way as far to the far ends of the earth. They would have took over the whole thing if they could have. It seems to be a maniacal power trip. And it's unfortunate that we have to live under that rule, the rest of the world's suffering under it, and so are we at home. Because this thing always comes home to roost. It always comes home back to bite us. We're witnessing it right now with what's going on with Tom.
Right. Yes, you guys mentioned earlier last week that Tom wasn't being held, there were no charges on him.
I think that there's a charge. If I said that, I might have misspoke. There's no crime. I mean, as far as we're concerned, because there's no victim, but there is a charge that they're levying against him. The government's claiming possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and if my memory serves me correct, it's 18 U.S.C. 922 G1.
Okay. I was just wondering, how the hell could they hold somebody without charging them?
No, they did. They charged him. They're saying, he's a felon, so he happened to be nearby a gun. You know, that's another thing that drives me up the wall is how did we get so far down the toilet of tyranny that we're going to let this government, the new Happy Days Are Here Again government, claim that Tom being in the same room with the gun nearby is somehow him possessing it. I mean, it's just not. It's unless it's in his hands and somebody sees it in his hands,
And even then, the charge is bogus, but at least they'd be accurate with saying possession. I mean, they're making up a word that doesn't exist. Constructive possession, meaning it's nearby. That's proximity. Nearby is proximity. It's not possession. The dictionary definition of possession requires actual holding. Go ahead.
Well, I believe that if he did his time, then I think that felony should come right off his record. He should be able to own a gun anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, once that's you do your time,
yep.
The debt to
society should have been paid and was paid. It is absolutely a form of double jeopardy and a form of cruel and unusual punishment and just perpetual persecution that they would hold him still to that charge there by saying, no, now you can't even be near a gun. What happens if he walks by a store that has guns in it? Is that being close enough to where it's constructive possession? I mean, this is why we cannot let the enemy have the language. There is no such thing as constructive possession. If it's not in your hands, you don't possess it. And that's according to the dictionary. We have to stick to that. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. Society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. So anyway, I want to see some real results. I want to see the Jeff Sessions drop these cases. And this is kind of why I'm really not real happy right now, because, you know, unless they arrest the big-name pedophiles, as we discussed in the first hour, or really start opening the jailhouse doors and letting these persecuted patriots go free like they should, you know, how far are we really going to get in resurrecting this republic with the new administration? I want to believe in it. I really do. I'm not just all out, you know, saying they suck or I don't like them because of this or that. I've got no preconceived notions other than I don't know any of the men personally or women. I don't want to look at their hairdo or the flashing lights or the big Secret Service. Listen to what they say. And there's code words in the platitude that I've heard. And once again, healthcare, education, and safer streets. My God, you would have heard the exact same line if you would have had a Democrat up there as president, Hillary or Obama or whoever. They all kind of say that same thing. Those are your three. Those are your three platitudes. John, go ahead.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, and appreciate your time you gave me. Can you give out that number for Sessions again one more time?
Sure,
and I'll hang up.
It is. Yeah, thanks for calling, John.
Thank you.
All right, the number for Sessions is 202-514-2000. That's 202-514-2000. As for the director of scheduling, get a call back from a legislative aide and talk to him about this case. The more calls they get, quicker Tom will go free. It's all he's got. The best attorneys and the best paperwork in the world.
He's got
to have the activism. Activism trumps everything. Stay involved. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom on the RBN Network. Thanks for joining us.
I'm not interested in
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.